story we're about to tell was told originally by the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel, who heard this story directly from his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Vladi, the founder of Chabad Chassidus. And this was subsequently related by the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe and found in the Sefer Likutei Diburim. And the Alter Rebbe told the story originally on Shvi Shel Pesach, Tovkuf Samachalov. Before the Baal Shem Tov was widely known, during the time that he was still a Nister, he had the custom of wandering through various towns and villages and from one Jewish settlement to another, and he would do so in order to strengthen the spirits of the Jewish people who were there in the villages, especially the simple villagers, the simple city dwellers, telling them how important their Avodas Hashem was, how important was their service of God to the Almighty, and how they were to love one another and to love Hashem. And he would encourage them in their manner of service, and he would seek to arouse divine mercy and benevolence upon these people. No one knew who or what the Baal Shem Tov was at that time, as he went dressed as a simple villager in order that he be able to mingle better with the masses, and he did not show at that time any special scholarship unless a certain circumstance warranted that he should do so. In one village where there lived a Jewish boy whose father had passed away when the child was only about 3 or 4 years old. When the child was about 5, Nishtogadach, his mother also died, and he was taken in by an uncle to be raised. The uncle took good care of the child and gave him over to a melamed, to a teacher, to teach the boy Torah. But the poor boy was not especially adept at learning. He was quite thick-headed, to tell the truth. And he couldn't grasp the teachings and the lessons of his melamed, of his teacher. Try as he might, and try diligently, he did. The child simply was not a keli, was not a vessel. He wasn't successful in his efforts of learning, but he was a good boy, and the Malamed told the other children in Cheder not to make fun of this young lad, because he really did try. He never did not have the capacity, he did not seem to have the head, and the children, being good children, listened to their teacher, and they treated this boy, who was, unfortunately, as we had mentioned, the Kailach Tikiyosim, a full orphan from both father and mother, they treated him with dignity and with respect. The boy had an intense desire to learn, but while his friends were already advancing and studying Gemara, he was barely mastering the Aleph Beis and Nekudas, the Hebrew alphabet, with the vowels. Seeing that the success of the nephew was very, very little in his studies, and a private Malamed who studied with a number of boys was quite expensive, the uncle refused to send him further to the Malamed after several years of non-success, but instead let him attend the local Talmud Torah, which was on a lower level, which was sponsored by the congregation, and where he did not have to pay for the boy's tutelage, as our limud, as tutelage was one of the most expensive things at that time, and people did not have money. The uncle was by far not at all wealthy. Several years passed with this young lad studying in the Talmud Torah, but his knowledge did not improve. When he reached the age of 12, the Kehillah, the congregation, seeing that he would not grow up to be a scholar by the wildest stretch of the imagination, sent him to a tinsmith to learn the craft of tinnery, to become a tinsmith, and this way, as he would grow older, he would be able to earn a living, and as was the custom at that time, that young lads, if they could not succeed in learning, would be apprenticed to craftsmen, and so for several years they would help the craftsmen, and they themselves would learn the craft and later be able to strike out on their own. The smith was a very pious Jew, and so he taught him faithfully the basics of tinsmithing and supervised his other activities as well. That means the Jewish activities, to see to it that the boy grew up in a Jewish manner, for he was living at the tinsmith's house as he was studying by him the craft of tinsmithing. The boy knew the various blessings, but did not know, however, which blessing you make on which food. For instance, he knew the blessing of Hamoitzi, he knew the blessing of Shahakil, he knew the blessing of Mezeinus, but it was too much for him to know that Mezeinus is made on bread, on cake, and Hamoitzi is made on bread, Shahakil is made on cheese, and so on. The boy's desire to learn, however, was so great that he would repeat the blessings that he knew during his work, while the other craftsmen who worked at the tinnery were accustomed to say Tehillim, they would review the Psalms, or Mishnayis, the Mishnah by heart, while they worked. The boy thought that by reciting the blessings, he too was engaged in Torah study. When it was explained to him that it was forbidden to recite God's name in vain, if he did not eat after the blessing that he made, that the blessings were specific and appropriate for various foods, and only then were they to be uttered, and now that he could not recite the blessings, he did know the alphabet, he took to reciting the alphabet over and over and over and over again while he was working. While he was not good at studying, the boy, however, was successful in his work and succeeded in becoming a very, very skilled tinsmith. He was very good at his trade. Soon the lad became bar mitzvah. Although it had originally been agreed that the boy was to be apprenticed for several years, the tinsmith, an honest man, saw that the boy knew the work well enough that he could strike out on his own, and he established the young lad independently. The tinsmith opened a shop for him, and the boy worked successfully on his own. Although he handed out much charity, this young lad was always distressed over the fact that he was a complete amoret, a total boor, a very, very unlearned individual. In due time, the young man married the daughter of a simple villager who worked with pitch and tar near the forest. The young man settled down in a village nearby and continued to ply his trade of tinsmithery, which at that time was very important. Again, as he was in his previous location, he was successful, and soon the smith became a wealthy man, but always, always troubled by the fact that he did not know how to learn Torah. The village where the young man lived had its own shul, its own synagogue, also had a shochet, a ritual slaughterer, a melamed, a teacher for the children, and one young man who was studying there was a ben Torah, was very, very scholarly. The young tinsmith at once came to this learned individual and poured out his heart to him, telling him of his great sorrow that he could not learn. This Bentir, this scholar, suggested that while he himself could not learn, he should support Torah scholars and explain to him that there were many simple folk who similarly supported Talmid Chachamim and were considered themselves in heaven as important as the scholars themselves, inasmuch as they made it possible for the scholars to learn Torah. They were the zevulin, they were the partner, the business partner to the limud haTorah, to the Torah study of the Yisachar of the scholars. From that time on, the tinsmith gave much of his money to help Talmidei Chachamim and to help support their scholars. The people of this particular village excelled in hachnosis orchim, in hospitality to strangers. When a guest came to town, which wasn't all that often, they would draw lots to determine who would get the schus, the merit, and the honor to accommodate the guest. Once, a sick man came to the village, a man who was covered with sores all over his body. Lots here as well were drawn for the privilege of housing the guest, and the tinsmith won. He brought the unfortunate man home, provided him with his own room, washed him, rubbed him with various medicated salves to ease his pain and discomfort, and took wonderful care of this individual. After several days, the guest wished to go on his way, but his host begged him to stay on at least a few more days. Once while the host and guest were discoursing, while they were having a conversation, the host happened to ask his guest how come he became so ill. And the guest replied that he had once been a great Torah scholar who knew the entire Talmud by heart, not only the Talmud, but all the various interpretations of the Rishonim, the Achrinim, the earlier and later commentators. He knew that as well by heart. But he had fasted extensively and studied intensively to come by to this vast knowledge. And all his study and fasting had made his body weak until it had reached the point where he was now. The guest departed shortly afterwards and went on his way. However, the young man, the tinsmith, remembered well the guest's story, and prayed and pleaded to Hashem, and he promised God that if he could acquire the knowledge of Torah through fasting and accepting all kinds of physical suffering, he was ready to do so if only he himself could become a Ben Torah, if only he himself could become a scholar. After several days of such prayer, the smith still saw no change in his mental acumen, in his mental capacities, and so he decided to do what his guest had done. He fasted for days at a time, going into the forest to say Tehillim, to recite Psalms. He still had difficulty reciting the words which he totally failed to understand, but he nevertheless prayed with tears and heavy sighs, beseeching God that he please have the merit of becoming a Talmud Chochem, a Torah scholar. Once, while he was sitting alone in the forest reciting Psalms, a Jew came along with a knapsack on his back and with a walking stick in hand. The Jew asked this young smithy what he was doing crying in the middle of the forest. The young man looked at the stranger and, seeing a holy visage in front of him, told the stranger his story, that he was an unlearned man and distressed by the fact, and that a guest of his had once told him to fast and abstain from worldly comforts in order to obtain Torah wisdom, and so he was trying to do so. The Jew listened to him carefully and then said, "Yes, that can work, but there's another way, and let me give you my advice." And he said to him that I would advise you that if you really want to become a Torah scholar, you should sign over to me your house and property and all your money on a valid legal document and join me for the next 3 years. And if you do so, said the wanderer, I guarantee you that you will become a Talmud Chacham, you will become a Torah scholar. Hearing that this could come to pass, that finally his long-sought wish of becoming a Talmud Chacham could actually come to fruition, the young man jumped at this and immediately agreed to the stranger's suggestion. But the older man said, "Not so quickly. Don't be so hasty. Please first go home and talk this over with your wife and see what she says about this idea. And then come back here in about a week's time with your answer." And so saying, the old man went on his way. The tinsmith returned home and told his wife about the wondrous encounter that he had in the forest and what the Jew had suggested about his becoming a Talmud Chacham. And he had said that he should consult with his wife, and now he is doing so. "What do you think, my wife?" said this young man. "What should I do? Should we give away all our possessions, and should I wander with this stranger? I do believe him." And his fine and upstanding wife said to him, "Always, always, you so deeply regret and lament the fact that you don't know how to study Torah. And here someone's coming along and advises you and offers you a proposition that you have now the opportunity to learn. Surely you should take advantage of it. And I too, on my part, I'm willing and agree, but I have one condition. And that condition is, I want the man to come here first, before we sign over all our possessions to him, and he should be our guest for a meal, because afterwards we're not going to have the money to be able to take in guests, and here we have a last chance to fulfill for a while the mitzvah of Hachnotzas Orchem, to be hospitable to strangers, and after we fulfill this mitzvah, we will be get ready to give everything else we own over to him." The guest had also told the man to consult not only with his wife, but also with his father-in-law. The young tinsmith now went to his father-in-law and told him the entire story. Father-in-law agreed that Yikorahim Pninim, that Torah is more valuable than pearls and diamonds and all precious gems, but reminded him that he had a wife and children and was required to provide for them. How could he give away his last possessions? There were plenty of simple and learned people, he argued, who supported Torah scholars and thus were considered on a level with them in that they had a share in this Torah study of these scholars. Father-in-law's words, which were quite logical, had an effect upon the young man and aroused doubt in his mind whether he was actually doing the right thing to go away for 3 years and sign away all his possessions. And so, racked with doubt, the young tinsmith fasted and cried out to Hashem, to God, that he show him what he should do, what is the right decision to make. On the day before he was supposed to meet the stranger in the forest, he consulted with his wife, telling her what her father had said, and that he doesn't know what to do. His wife said to him that the fact that my father was able to arouse doubt in your mind would seem to indicate that all your sighing and crying and lamenting during these years, they were not sincere sighs and cries. For had you desired to truly know Torah with all your heart, you would not hesitate now to follow the stranger's instructions. And so the man was encouraged by his wife to undertake this hardest test and set out and answer the stranger that he was ready to do it. The young man, listening to his wife, went to the appointed place in the forest at the appointed time, where he met the Jew and told him his decision that he's ready to go for 3 years and sign everything over. However, as he was saying this, a deep sigh escaped him. And the Jew looked at him sharply and said, "It's not too late. You're welcome to change your mind." And the young man told him of all his doubts and repeated the argument to the father-in-law. "He's really right," answered the Jew. "There surely exist simple Jews who support Torah scholars and fulfill mitzvahs, and they are even more exalted than many scholars who sit and study. It's not necessary that you go and learn." The young man hesitated a moment and then said resolutely, "I agree to give away all my property and to go into exile for 3 years. I only ask you to fulfill the condition that my wife has made, and that is that you come to our house for a meal so that we may fulfill the mitzvah of hospitality with you before we become penniless." That was readily agreed to by the stranger. And they went together to the house of the tinsmith. And after Maariv, they came into the house and found the table set bountifully. Candles were burning at the head of the table as if it were Yontif. "What holiday is there today?" asked the guest of his host. "I don't know," he said. "Let's ask my wife." And they asked his wife. He asked his wife, and she said, "Today is a holiday for 2 reasons. First of all, we have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of hospitality. And secondly, I see that Hashem wishes to take away our possessions from us. There are many ways that he could have done it. He could have done it, God forbid, in a manner where we would be left penniless and my husband would not enough have an opportunity to study Torah. And when he does us the great kindness of taking our property and giving us Torah in exchange, is that not a cost for celebration?" And so after the meal, they brought a large sack and filled it with their silver and gold. They signed over all their property in a document witnessed and signed by 2 neighbors. And at the break of dawn, the following morning, the Jew said to the woman, "Now that all your possessions belong to me, I want you to know the following. First of all, I give you permission to live here with your family as tenants, not as owners, until your husband returns. You, your children can live here. Not only that, but he provided her with sacks of flowers and potatoes as a gift, and also said you may plant the grounds and use the fruits of the orchards and of the vegetable garden, and so that she was able to sustain herself very well during these years. However, this is only in the form of a present, not that you are the owner." Then the old man, the older gentleman, blessing her and her 2 sons and daughter, took the sacks of gold and silver with him and set forth with the tinsmith. After they departed, the woman sowed the garden and the fields, and Hashem blessed the fields bountifully. She was able to support herself from the produce during the 3 years. When her husband returned, they went to live someplace else. He became prosperous in his undertakings and grew rich. He studied Torah secretly. He became a tzaddik nister, a hidden saint and scholar. When the couple died, the tinsmith was given a place in the palace of scholars in heaven, while his wife was presented with a corresponding place in the palace of righteous women. Each time that her husband was raised to a higher hechel, a higher palace in heaven, his wife as well was transferred to a higher location, with a heavenly pronouncement coming at that time that it was all due to her merit that her husband became such a successful Torah scholar during the years of wandering, and it was she who gave and guided the way to him to fulfill this. And when the Tzemach Tzedek concluded this story, the third Lubavitch Rebbe, he said, "My grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, when he concluded the story, said that the Jewish stranger who the tinsmith met in the forest was none other than the Baal Shem Tov himself before he revealed himself. He also added that the woman merited her high and lofty position because of her happy self-sacrifice for the sake of Torah." What a lesson for us all.